If you can now turn the word of God to the prophecy of Zechariah. God willing, on Sunday evening, I was going to go through this prophecy. It's perhaps not the best time to do it in the summer. In the mornings, we'll be looking at individual psalms. But I wanted to go through this prophecy. Can I encourage you? I know many of you sometimes don't do this. But if you're away through holidays, when you're not here, if you go on the website, when you're going through a series like this, and listen to the message that you missed, because it helps you to get an idea of the whole flow of the prophecy and a deeper understanding of the prophecy. We'll read chapter 1, but we'll be particularly looking upon the first six verses and more this evening. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and covetable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry not, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My city through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Well, may God give us understanding of his word. When we look at the messages of God's prophets in the Old Testament, there is the danger of thinking that they have nothing to do with us today. And we couldn't be more wrong, really. They are part of the scriptures. They are part of the abiding word of Almighty God. The scriptures, we're told, are God-breathed and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All the prophecies in the Old Testament are part of the revealed will of God for all people, for all time. So they are a message from God to you and to me. Yes, they all have a context. They were all given at a particular time, in particular situations in history. This particular prophecy of Zechariah was given when the people of Judah returned from captivity, with Jerusalem in ruins, with the temple totally broken down, and began a process of rebuilding. But it came to something of a halt for various reasons. One was because of difficulties, because of opposition. The other was because of wrong priorities. The people focusing more upon themselves and upon their own homes, rather than the temple of God, which God was to be worshipped in, which was enormous folly, because they should have remembered it was the people's sinful departure from God in the first place that resulted in God's judgment falling upon them, and then being defeated and taken into captivity. So God uses two prophets to rectify the situation Judah was now in, Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai being just shortly before Zechariah. And God, through these two prophets, addresses the people's wrong priorities, the people's apathy. But that wasn't all. Particularly Zechariah addresses the fact that the people on their return were so discouraged, were so disheartened, because everything was in such a sad state. And as they sought to put things right, forgetting about their wrong priorities at times, they faced many difficulties. They faced a lot of opposition. So here were a people discouraged and in despair, a people who had gone a bit astray with their priorities, focused on themselves rather than what the will of Almighty God was. And God speaks to them in that situation through Zechariah. And he speaks of both the first and the second coming of the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the completion of his work of salvation. In actual fact, Zechariah has more references to the Messiah than any other Old Testament prophet, bar for Isaiah. More references to Christ than any other, bar for Isaiah. When you think how many chapters are in Isaiah, and Zechariah isn't that long a book, you compare it with Jeremiah, for example, and Ezekiel. But there's more references to the Messiah in Zechariah than all of those books apart from Isaiah. So it was a message to Zechariah to warn the people that they don't make the same mistake as their fathers had made. The mistakes their fathers had made that had caused God in his judgment of them to be defeated and taken into captivity. So it's a warning not to make the same mistakes as their father, not to be given to spiritual apathy. And it's a message to encourage and strengthen the people who at that time were facing all sorts of opposition and were somewhat disheartened and discouraged. It was a dark time spiritually, and it was a message they particularly needed to hear. And we move on all these years till today, and it's just as important message and an appropriate message for us today. To correct often the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ's apathy and the fact that Christians are often tempted to focus more on themselves than on Christ and the will of Almighty God. And to encourage the church. Many Christians, many churches are disheartened and somewhat discouraged. And in this prophecy, we're reminded of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he completed the work he came into this world to do, and how he's continuing to build his church, and how he will come again in power and great glory and finish the building of that church and come again when the last sinner comes to faith in Christ, who in the purpose of God and the sovereignty of God, God had chosen to save. So it was a message that was dealing with all sorts of things that needed dealing with at the time of Zechariah. But it's a message dealing with all sorts of things that need dealing with at this time for Christians, that we don't make the same mistake the fathers of the people Zechariah was writing to. We're not given to apathy. We don't focus more on our own selves and our own comforts than the glory of God and the will of God. We don't become too cast down, disheartened, and discouraged, thinking almost that the Church of Christ is failing and Christ himself is failing in the building of his church. It's a message to help us with all those sort of things. It's a message really begins with a warning to the people in Zechariah's day. Because the people needed to learn from what had happened to their fathers and not make the same mistake as their fathers made. It's true to say that this prophecy that contains 8 visions given to Zechariah, along with Ezekiel, is one of the most difficult of the Old Testament prophets to interpret. So you need to come to it carefully and prayerfully when you're dealing with such a prophecy. Zechariah's name means what Jehovah remembers. It was a very common name. I think there's some 27 Zechariahs in the Bible. But we know which one this is because we're told. He's the son of Bechariah, the son of Iddo. So he came from a priestly line, and he himself fulfilled the role of a prophet. He was a young man when he was commanded to give God's word. He began his prophecy. That's referred to in chapter 2 and verse 4. It highlights the fact that he was only a young man. We're told he began his prophecy in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius. And we can almost nail that down completely. It's about 520 B.C. And when Zechariah, this young man, begins to give the abiding word of God, that was the time of it. He's not given his own views. He's not given his own opinions, his own ideas. We're told the word of the Lord came to him. And throughout the prophecy, you'll see, he says, saith the Lord of hosts. This is what God is saying. He is saying to us throughout the prophecy. So it begins with this warning to the people of Judah, and in turn to us all these years later, of the foolishness of not listening to God's word, of not obeying God's word. You see, the people of Judah at the time of Zechariah and us today only have to look at what happened to the people of Judah before this time, to the fathers of those he's writing to at this time. They were defeated, taken into captivity, Jerusalem in ruins, the temple destroyed. And God makes it clear he was so displeased with their fathers. This was a righteous anger of God in his judgment falling upon the people of Judah at that time for their sins, for the fact that they wouldn't listen to God's word, but on the contrary, they disobeyed it. You see, the fathers in Judah before this time thought they were very, very privileged. They thought spiritually they were the bee's knees. We are the people of God. We worship God. We have our temple. We have our sacrifices. We have our feast days. But they didn't profit them at all. They were of no use to them whatsoever while they were living ungodly lives, while they were willfully disobeying the word of Almighty God. And we need to realize that and to remember that all these years later, because you could make an outward profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could attend all the meetings in the church down through the years. You could observe the service of communion, but it'll profit you nothing at all if you don't do what God tells you in his word, if you are willfully disobeying the word of Almighty God. You see, God through his prophets had made it clear to the fathers of the people Zechariah's talking to how displeased he was with them for their sins. And he'd made it clear to them his righteous punishment would fall upon them for their sins. And he told them what would happen. You'll be defeated and you'll be taken into captivity. And he told them, if you don't turn from your sinful ways and turn to me, this is what will happen. But they took no notice of what God said to the prophets. They felt God wouldn't do what he said. He'll never allow us to be defeated and taken into captivity. That's what they felt. But of course, they were wrong. Just as God said they were defeated, just as God said they were taken into captivity, God's wrath fell upon them for their sins. They wouldn't listen to God's word. They convinced themselves what God has said will never happen. And they found to their cost what God had said most certainly would happen. And their fathers were defeated and taken off into captivity. And now the present generation, the new one, needed to learn from that. You see, their unbelief in God's word through the prophets by their fathers, the rejection of God's word, they're convincing themselves God's word will never happen, it'll never come to pass, all resulted in God's judgment falling upon them, just as God had said. So they're now being warned, don't make the same mistake your fathers did, the generation before you did. And like them, not listen to what God says about his holy, righteous displeasure with you for your sinful disobedience. Not listen to what God had said to your fathers about their need to turn from their sins and turn back to Almighty God. And God's righteous judgment fell upon them. So don't make the same mistake, God is saying through Zechariah as your fathers. Don't do the same foolish thing. If there's no repentance on your part, the people of Judah are being told at that time, if you don't turn from your sin and turn back to God, then God will not have mercy upon you. He made it very, very clear that they were going down the same pathway almost their fathers had gone down. And the same thing would happen to them as a result if they didn't learn from that. And the people living at that time, they knew what had happened. They knew how God, through the prophets, had told their fathers, if you don't turn from your sin and turn back to God, God would righteously judge them. They knew that God actually did do, and they knew that their fathers didn't believe that God would ever do it. So they knew they would be making the very same mistake now when God tells them he's not displeased with them for their sins. His judgment will fall upon them for their sins if they don't turn from them and return to him. And if they made the same mistake as their fathers and thought, well, God will never do this to us, well, they clearly were so wrong. The people in Zechariah's day knew what happened to their fathers. And they knew God is now telling them, look, the same's going to happen to you if you make the same mistake. God is thankfully a holy, righteous, just God. We'd live in a terrible world if God wasn't that. But that being the case, as a holy, righteous, just God, he must and will righteously punish us for all the ways we disobey him in our hearts and lives, breaking his good and holy laws. And if we say to ourselves and we imagine, God will never do that to me, God would never punish me, God would never cast me into hell, we're making the same mistake the fathers, the people Zechariah is writing to at the time. They thought, we're God's people in Jerusalem, in the land given by God, with a temple. He'll never allow us to be defeated. He'll never allow the temple to be destroyed. He'll never allow us to be taken into captivity. And yet he did, just as he said. If they thought that God, being a loving God, which he is, wouldn't punish them as a people if they didn't turn from their sin and turn to God and seek his mercy, they were very, very much mistaken. God's word tells us to not let anyone deceive us. His wrath falls upon the children of disobedience. And that's every one of us. Because God says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, throughout the Bible, the whole word of God, it makes clear how displeased a holy, righteous, pure God is with all our sins against him. All the way in our actions and in our thoughts and in our words, in our whole behavior, we don't live according to the good and holy commands of Almighty God. And it makes it very, very clear. We deserve and we will justly receive the righteous eternal punishment of Almighty God. And as the people of Judah found out, when they refused to listen to God, that judgment fell upon them. And it begs the question, are we going to be the same? Are we going to refuse to listen to what God says? Are we going to think God will never punish me for my sins against him? He would never cast me into hell itself. Well, God tells us he will. He will. And you imagining and convincing yourself he won't alter the fact that he will. And that's what the people of Judah needed to understand at that time. And that's what we need to understand today. He told them, if you turn from your sins and return to me, seeking my mercy, I will turn to you and have mercy upon you. And God says the same thing to sinful mankind, to every single one of us. I am sorely displeased with all your sinful disobedience of me in your life. I, as a holy, righteous God, must righteously, justly, deservedly, eternally punish you for all your sinful disobedience. Yet if you turn from your sins and turn to me, if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will immediately turn to you and forgive you all your sins against me and make you my child and accept you for time and eternity through my only beloved Son who you've trusted in for salvation. And the real question is this: are we going to listen to and do what the word of God says? Those Zechariah was speaking to at the time, that was the question to them. Are you going to be the same as your fathers, or are you going to be different? They wouldn't listen to God. They took no notice of God. They convinced themselves God wouldn't do what he said, with tragic, awful consequences. They were defeated and taken into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And God would ask us the same question. Are you going to listen to me? And he asked the population of this country and the world, people round and about us. You could tell people, you could go through the scriptures and show them how God is a holy, righteous, just God, and he is so displeased with them for all their sins against him, and what God says about his righteous, eternal punishment of them. And they won't believe what God said. They'll convince themselves, God wouldn't really do that to me. And of course, the moment after they take their last breath, they find he will. But it's far, far too late. God tells us we need to listen to what he has said. If we turn to him in repentance and faith, he will turn to us and pardon us and forgive us all our sins. We'll be saved from the righteous punishment they deserve. We'll be accepted by him through his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this warning that was given to the people of Judah through Zechariah all those years ago is just as relevant to every person we come across in life today, and even to us if we're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a good, loving, righteous, holy, just God. And he will and he must righteously punish breaking his good and holy laws. And everyone is guilty of doing that. And if people imagine, well, he won't do that, he will. He will. And if they won't listen to what God has said, it'll have tragic consequences for them. God told through the prophets, the fathers of the people Zechariah is speaking to, and they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't take any notice, and the judgment of God fell upon them. He's now speaking to them and saying, now don't do the same thing. Listen to what God is saying. He's so displeased with you for your sins. If you turn to him, he will turn to you and pardon and forgive you. And then centuries later, here we are in 2025. Individual people who God is so displeased with because we've all sinned and come short of his glory. And God tells us his wrath will be revealed from heaven against all our ungodliness and all our unrighteousness. And yet so often, so many people, it may be you, you convince yourself that won't happen. That won't happen to me. Well, I've got to tell you, just as it happened to the people of Judah, and God's judgment fell upon them, with them being defeated and taken into captivity and the temple destroyed, God's judgment will fall upon you. The fact that you think it won't happen, the fact that you persuade yourself it won't happen, doesn't stop it from happening. And that was a warning to the people of Judah at that time. So you see, we, all these years later, God is telling us, I'm so displeased with you for your sins. I will righteously judge you and punish you as you deserve for your sins against me. But if you turn from your sins and turn to me, if you come to me in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will turn to you. I will forgive you all your sins. I will save your soul. You'll be saved from the righteous eternal punishment all your sins against me deserve. But if you don't believe what I'm telling you, or you won't listen to what I'm telling you, and you won't turn to me in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing more to be said. Nothing more could be done for us. The people of Judah wouldn't listen. They didn't believe God would punish them. And his judgment fell upon them, just as he said. You mightn't believe and think God will eternally punish you as a sinner against him, but he will. And the only way that will not happen is if you turn to him in repentance and faith. You confess to God your sins against him, and you ask God in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you them all and help you from this day on follow him in obedience to his word. So let's make sure that we listen to the warnings of God's word. And let's realize as Christians, as we go into the world and we try and speak to people and warn them of God's judgment and call upon them to turn to God in repentance and faith in Christ, that we need God to really convict them by his Spirit, because they will convince themselves, persuade themselves, he won't punish me like that. And while they're in that state, they don't see how much they need the Lord Jesus Christ. But once a sinner is convicted of their sins and believes in their heart the awful consequences of their sins against God, they want to know, what must I do to be saved? How can I be forgiven? And we can tell them by God's grace through faith in Christ alone.